Yes, that hymn means a lot to me, and I'm sure to many of you. And it's interesting that the backstory to that, it was originally written as a poem, and it was called, written by an Irish preacher called Joseph Scriven in 1855. And it was written for his mother, because Joseph was a travelling preacher. He went to Canada and his mum was left behind in Ireland. And it's interesting that, as well, that it was actually called, the poem was called Pray Without Ceasing, from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. But Joseph, actually, in 1843, he was about to get married, but the night before he was due to get married, his fiancée fell into a river and drowned. And then in 1858, he fell in love again. And his second fiancée died in 1860 of pneumonia. After that, he devoted his life to helping others and preaching the gospel. So the backdrop of that hymn, that poem, comes from someone who knew grief and, well, sacrifice. The song was later rewritten by someone called Charles Crozat Converse in the 1860s, and that's when it was retitled What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So today I just wanted to share some thoughts on the greatest friendship ever, the creator of 100 billion galaxies, has offered us friendship. And that just blows my mind, because it's more than friendship. He's actually given us himself. And I'd just like to read a couple of passages, one from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 30. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Coming back to what I said at the communion, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's another way of saying the gift is the giver. He's given us himself. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. He's our everything. He's even given us his own faith. And I'll come to that in a little while. So, Joe, your message of let go and let God is very appropriate here. So, what is friendship? This is about friendship, and I just thought, well, what does friendship mean to me? And I actually looked up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, where else? And it says that friendship is a state of enduring affection, esteem, and intimacy and trust between two people. That's the Encyclopedia Britannica. And, I also looked at what the Greek philosopher Aristotle talked about friendship, and he actually identified three types of friendship. One type of friendship is what he called utility. What does that mean? Well, it's if the friendship's kind of more or less useful to us in some way, so it's kind of like an acquaintance and quite superficial. Then there was a pleasure type of friendship that we both gain from the friendship, mutual pleasure. That's okay as far as it goes. And then there's the other type of friendship, which is what he called good friendship. And that is where you mutually respect each other, but then you behave towards each other with benevolence. And benevolence, you know, meaning that you act towards someone for their highest good. And it might mean that you put yourself second for their benefit. So that's kind of the idea of different ideas of friendship. Now, when I worked for the National Health Service, they had a different view of friendship. We were always told, particularly in mental health circles where I worked most of my career in the NHS, they said, you should be a friendly professional, but never be a professional friend. And the implication there is that somehow if you became too friendly with people, it would blur the boundaries of your professional relationship to them, that somehow it could compromise what you do for them. So it talks about relational boundaries. That was the NHS. So yes, be friendly, but be a professional, but never be a professional friend. Don't cross that line. Well, isn't it good that God doesn't think of it that way? So we can see there are different types of friendship. So what about our friendship with Jesus then? In John 15, verses 13 to 14, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And he goes on to say, you are my friends. He says that to his disciples. If you do what I command. Now, well, what did he command? Well, previously, Jesus said, my command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. There's a thought. Well, how do we do that? Sometimes I look at people in my own family and I find it hard to love them. And, let alone strangers. But then again, the gift is the giver. I can't do it in my own strength. So I go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to do it through me. And then it's when we let go and let God, there's Joe's little message again, then that's when the miraculous happens, when we trust and lean on him, repose on him. Where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's that kind of thought, which is earlier in that chapter 15. So, a mark of friendship, the basis of such a relationship. Then John 19, verse 30, it is recorded that while on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. So this is the basis of friendship. It is finished. And I often like to ask myself these questions. Well, what do these things actually mean, it is finished? How do we define that then? How does that define our relationship with God? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We inherited a sinful nature from Adam. When Adam fell, we all fell with him because we were in his loins, so to speak. It's like almost a genetical sort of thing in a way. I'm using that as a simile. So we are born in sin, which means we miss the mark completely. And it doesn't matter how much self-help books we read or courses we go on. If it's in the flesh, it doesn't impress God whatsoever. So, well, what do we do then? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23. So, in a way, Jesus can be seen as the tree of life. The tree of good, the knowledge of good and evil is quite often a simile of our self-effort when we try and we fall down many, many times. And I am a great candidate for that label. But the gift of God is eternal life. We come to Jesus. He's our only hope. He's our only true friend in that sense. As followers of Christ, you, me, are accepted, loved and known by name. Imagine that. You're known by name. He knows how many hairs are actually on your head, if you've got any. For those of you that haven't, he still loves you. Mike's just scratching his head there. Yes, it's about accepting God's gift, about entering in. So how do we enter in? How do we actually enter in? Well, Paul writes in Colossians 2, verse 9, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus, and you are complete in him. Do you know, do I know that we are complete in him? Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. It is finished. It is finished. Well, the Greek for that word, it is finished, is tetelestai, tetelestai. I looked up the pronunciation for that. I'm not a clever Greek reader by any means, so I had to Google it to see how do you actually pronounce that. It's tetelestai, and it just means it is complete. It is complete, or paid in full. Paid in full. That's it. Paid in full. So we've all sinned, but Christ on the cross, he died, he rose again, and it was paid in full. There's nothing else I can do. There's nothing I can add that would insult God, I would imagine, because he's done it all. I've been invited to enter into his rest. How do I enter into God's rest? How do I do that? Well, do I accept it? Well, yeah, I can accept it. But how does that work? Jesus invites us. In Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Souls can also be read as your minds. You can find rest for your minds, your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Really? Really? Am I reading that right? Was there a mistake? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What does the word yoke mean? I know what a yoke is, and any of you coming from a farming background, you'll know that you often see yokes that are put on the necks of animals to drag things along, and ploughs and all that sort of thing. But a yoke, in terms of scripture, can be understood as submission. We submit to God's will in everything. Submission. And in James 4, verse 7, James says, submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then he goes on to say, come near to God, and he will come near to you. And God is not a man that he should lie. So how do I enter in? Submit. Say, God, I haven't got the strength in myself. If I look at myself, I'm undone. But we're not invited to look at ourselves. We're invited to look at ourselves in Christ. God sees you in Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus and you're a born again Christian, he lives in you. And interestingly, you're in him. Galatians 5, verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ, says Paul. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And this is where the King James Version gets it right. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A lot of versions say faith in, but actually the Greek, if you read it, and various other scriptures, faith of. It's whose faith? Is it my faith? It's his faith. He's given us even that. We can say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Christ says, well, lean not, get, have my faith. Have my faith. So when Jesus rose on the third day, we were raised together with him. We now have new life, his life. A relationship with Christ Jesus is one in which you understand you don't struggle to do the right thing to earn God's favor. But repose in, I'm not saying you don't do anything, but how do I live a righteous life? Well, first of all, it's accepting that Christ is my righteousness. That takes revelation from the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Lord to help us see that. And yes, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But actually, he said in one of his messages, the actual Greek rendering of that is, I can do all things through the one who imparts his strength into me. Now, of course, the context of that is often misunderstood. If you read what happens before that verse, it's all what Paul had gone through and suffered. And Paul said, I could only really do that because of Christ enabling me to do it. I couldn't do it in my own strength. What a friend we have in Jesus, eh? So, as you rest in him, in his faith, you'll be thrilled to see what comes out of you. It's Christ himself. I wrote a little subheading, Paul's there, because that in itself is just amazing. But Colossians 3, verse 1 and 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And in Ephesians 2, verse 6, Paul says it again. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1, verse 27. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Think about that. Surrounded by Christ. Raised up with Christ. Seated with Christ. It's all Christ Jesus. Our friendship is intimate indeed. You couldn't get much of a more intimate relationship, friendship, than that. Christ is our life, our righteousness and holiness. And if you ever feel down and you look at yourself, it's because, and I know when that happens to me, it's because I've taken my eyes off the ball. I'm looking at myself and I'm not reposing. We're invited to rest in Christ. But isn't it great that he knows our weaknesses? He knows we get it wrong. He knew us before we were born. He called us by name. Unbelievable. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He even calls it our faith. It's really because of grace. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that has sat and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, we already read earlier, he took us with him. We're seated with him. So if we're seated with him in the heavenly realms, we've got problems. I mean, Watchman Nee talks about this in his book, Sit, Walk, Stand. If you've never read it, it's a lovely devotional book about Ephesians. Sit, walk, stand. He said, when we get revelation of that, and we realize that actually our position is with Christ in the heavenly realms, we're above it all in Christ. And it will give a rise more to praise and worship than prayer. Of course, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray, because clearly the Bible tells us pray always. It also says rejoice evermore. In every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So pray and give thanks. But we can only do that from a position of grace. We don't have the strength to do that in ourselves. John 15, verse 15. I no longer call yourself, I no longer call you servants or slaves, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. Now, here's the thing. There will be a massive difference in your relationship with Jesus, with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. When we understand the difference between being a servant and being a friend of Jesus. A servant comes with a sense of duty. Servants don't want to make their masters angry. My goodness, I better do better. Better do this, better do that. Better work harder, better do that. Almost like salvation by works. What about a friend then? Friends, well, that gives life to the experience of joyful delight. Friends are motivated by the relationship they have with the one they love. Abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. For we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That word handiwork can be interpreted as poem. We are God's poem. Imagine that. God's written your life. God's poem. Unbelievable. So, just a closing summary, really. What have we covered? What a friend we have in Jesus. Friendship, a state of enduring affection, esteem, and trust. Underline the word trust. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. Possible because of the cross, death and resurrection of Christ. It is a free gift of God. And three, Jesus' invitation, Matthew 11. We are friends of Christ, and God the Father is our daddy. How about that? Well, it says, doesn't it? We can call him Abba, Father. Well, Abba just means daddy. Imagine calling God the Father daddy, the creator of 100 billion galaxies that just we could never comprehend, knows you, loves you, wants you, and you can call him daddy. Hebrews 4 tells us, be careful, make every effort to enter God's rest. Do you know, Adam's first day on earth was God's day of rest. God had worked. And when Adam was created, it was to enter God's rest. That was God's rest. That was Adam's first day. God's rest day. We often miss that. Well, I certainly do. Roy Godwin talked about spending time with Jesus, really getting to know him. Spending time with him, loving him, learning from him, submitting to him. Then they went out. Then they went out into the mission field. Then what? They came back. Then they rested with him again, spent time with him, loved him, fellowshipped with him, get to know him. Then they went out. Then they came back. And there's this pattern in our life and walk with God in the world. And I'm just going to finish with this poem. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And I'll close it there. Amen.